minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. If you guys want to get at us today, the First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. I have Nuggets and Blazers tickets to give away tonight as well. So you're not going to want to miss that opportunity if you're interested in checking out some Denver Nuggets, Portland Trail Blazers action from Ball Arena tonight. So we'll get into that. Last night was, it was close again. It was, the Rams had things rocking and rolling in the first half. They were up 33-24. They end up winning 77-72. Very interesting game. But, CBS, the broadcast wasn't bad. The ending was interesting. But David Roddy, wasn't like a perfect night from him. But he did have 24 points in this one.
And now Utah State man-to-man.
Whoa. Roddy straight away through.
You had your stars doing their thing. Roddy had 24 points. Isaiah Stevens had 22. And you didn't have 13 points from the bench and the rest of the team. That was nice because you had Lake with 11. Chandler Jacobs had 11. Kenna Moore had 5. So, I mean, that is much better. Much better for Colorado State. Still not a, how are we feeling after that? Still shaking off some rust a little bit? The second half was a little tough. Utah State kept fighting back, kept making that thing interesting. I kept thinking CSU was going to pull away, but Utah State kept bringing it right back in. Here's what was interesting. It was a five-point game. CSU scores. Utah State is down by 3. They foul with 2.2 seconds left. We're going to the free throw line. CBS cuts to a commercial. Now, then we come back, and they're shaking hands. So clearly, they made the final free throws. Rams win 77-72. Now, odds are, I don't think a lot of people were hanging on the edge of their seat wondering if they were going to win that game. All you had to do is make one free throw, and it's mathematically, foul when they launch the Hail Mary shot and they have a four-point play, whatever. But pretty much over. It was the betters. I think it was a minus. I want to say there was one spread I looked at was -4 for CSU, or -6 was the original one. So I thought that was, you have bettors glued to the TV wondering if they're going to make both of those free throws, and CBS cuts away. Now, us being in the radio industry, I don't like to complain too much when you have technical difficulties, because as my wonderful bearded producer back there, Michael Kirkpatrick, knows, technical difficulties are part of the game when you're dealing with technology, when you're dealing with what we're radio, live game coverage and all that stuff. Because we've never had a technical issue at KFK, have we, Michael?
I have no idea.
That's good. That's clever. That's clever.
It happens sometimes, and I don't blame TV when stuff goes out.
It's hard, though, because there is a little bit of a difference between CBS and our live and locally owned and operated radio station, right? Because CBS is bringing in, with their sponsors, with their advertisers, they're bringing in millions upon millions of dollars. So you do expect, if you're on national television, you're going to have your ducks in a row. So,
and the difference between CBS and us is we care about our listeners.
Yeah.
Sure. Care more.
Oh, yeah. We care a bunch about you guys. No, the hooligans are a different breed, man. I care about you guys, but we got a different breed of listeners that listen to this show. Probably my fault, I'm guessing, because of who I am. But, hey, glad the Rams got this one. They're 12-1. It was a bounce-back win after a very rough performance against San Diego State. I mean, you really needed to win this game. And Utah State, I think that's the kind of team that's just going to get better as they go. I know they lost to Air Force couple of weeks ago. I know, or maybe 2 weeks, was that 2 weeks ago? And I know they battled it out with New Mexico, but it's so hard to look at those games and think, well, they struggled here. Off nights happen. I mean, hell, last week it just seemed like everybody was having an off night. So, still a little rusty. Like I said, Roddy got his points, but he didn't look as sharp as he has in the past. So we're, if I'm a Rams fan today, I'm thankful you got the dub. I'm walking away going, all right, You're 12-1. You move back to, what are they, third in the conference. They're 2-1. Boise State's undefeated. San Diego State's undefeated. And now you look forward to San Jose State on Saturday, a road trip, 4 o'clock game. Got to go win that game. Just keep it going. So congrats to Colorado State. We're going to have Kevin Lytle on. He'll tell us how it all went down. I only got to watch the second half. I had a networking event in downtown Greeley at Stella's. It's like this pinball place, dude. They have an old school arcade. I'm very shocked you haven't been there, Michael. You just strike me as the kind of guy that would hang out in an arcade.
Well, first of all, I'm not good at video games, but I do know the owner.
They're old video games, though. They're like old school stuff.
I'm bad at all video games.
Really?
Yeah.
There's one video game I'm all right at.
What's that?
I can't remember the name of it, and it's stuck in my PlayStation or Xbox or whichever one I have.
There you go. Well, it was fun last night, but I got home in time to watch the second half of this game for the Rams, and it was a big, big win, really. Really was. Now you look for the Rams to kind of just keep it rolling. San Jose State, they're a 500-type team or so. You do expect to win that game. You got New Mexico. They're right now the worst team in the conference. They did, Utah State beat New Mexico, but just barely the last time around. And I don't know about, like, who was out and all that stuff in that game. It's hard nowadays with COVID. And although I guess if it is a COVID issue, then it's the entire team getting knocked out. So you just kind of assume that there are bigger injuries at that side. Then you're at Air Force again. So CSU played Air Force not that long ago. They're on the road against Air Force. So really, the next three games, they should be able to win. I do think that they should be able to get the next three games, and then we're talking, all right, we're rolling again. Will the Rams get back into that top 25 status? You're going to have to beat San Diego State at home. Will they get in the top 25? Let's say they win out. They beat San Jose State, New Mexico, Air Force, Nevada, UNLV, and at Wyoming. And then they lose to San Diego State. Is that going to be enough to get them? Are we going to see the Rams get back into that top 25? Now, obviously, if teams are losing out and things like that, that does have an impact. But, man, they were unforgiving with Colorado State. That loss on the road to San Diego State, if I could spit that out, was tough. 30-point loss. It's a tough place to play. Also, 5 days removed from coming back from COVID, NCAA didn't care. They knocked them right the hell out of that top 25. Was that fair? It's tough. You can't lose by 30 to a non-ranked team. Or an unranked team. Even if it's San Diego State, even if it's the typical class of the conference when it comes to basketball, even if it's in the Viejas Center, that's a very difficult place to play. So I was frustrated, but you can't lose by 30. You just can't. Can you? If it was Arizona, they would have played Arizona instead of San Diego State and then lost by 30 to Arizona. Would they have been knocked out? Probably not. But it's an unranked. If you're playing an unranked team, and again, I don't care that it's San Diego State. I know, I get that. But you lose by 30. So can they get themselves back in? I mean, you win out. If they win the rest of their games, sure, they should be. But that's going to be tough. So I'll be curious to see if they can get back in. But first things first, they got San Jose State on Saturday. Michael, let me get to my big story of the day. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. This is a kind of a unique story. Safety Eric Weddle. I've always been a big-time Eric Weddle fan. He has come out of retirement, and he signed with the Los Angeles Rams for the playoffs after the season-ending injury to Jordan Fuller. Weddle's return to the Rams was announced by his agent, David Cantor, on Wednesday. The Rams later announced that they had signed Weddle to their practice squad. So, I mean, that's kind of a unique story. We're talking about this day and age of so many players coming out of the woodworks, playing with this team and coming out of retirement, or you're seeing it in basketball left and right, guys that are, in the G League or not really even in the league anymore, coming back to play with teams. Well, I guess you're seeing it in football, too. So kind of a cool thing for Eric Weddle Jalen Ramsey tweeted it out. My brother for real, and he shared a picture of Weddle, and he said, let's get another dub. So cool deal. I mean, he's 37 years old. He retired after the 2019 season. He started all 16 games for the Rams. He was a team captain and was the defensive signal caller. He's a stud, man. Six-time Pro Bowl selection, two-time All-Pro, 29 picks, 4 return for touchdowns. He's had 8 forced fumbles, 7 fumble recoveries, 9.5 sacks, 98 pass deflections in 13 seasons. So, interesting story there. 16 minutes after the hour. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Well, of the two buying groups, who are you picking? I'm curious to get Mr. Broncos' insight on that. John Elway's buying group or Peyton Manning's buying group? And again, we talked about this yesterday. I think the consensus is whether you vote Manning or Elway, you're not going to be that upset if it's either one of them. I don't think. Some of you guys are like, no, Elway, stay away from it. He's not going to be picking and drafting and doing. None of that stuff will be what Elway's doing. It's purely going to be an ownership side, so business-related outside of football. 17 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about that, as well as look at Sunday's playoff games. I've already given my picks for Saturday. I like the Raiders to win. I like the Bills to win and cover over the Pats. What's it look like Sunday? We got 3 games on Sunday. We'll get to that next, 17 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-two minutes after the hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Do want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week. They're half a mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. You got their free wine and beer tastings that they do every weekend or Friday or Saturday. This week's game beer of the week is from Horse and Dragon Brewing in Fort Collins. It's a Snow Camp Porter. You can pick up selections from Horse and Dragon or any of your favorite adult beverages, and use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available. Which group would you vote for? If it comes down to just those two groups, we have Woody Page's report indicating that John Elway would be a part of a buying group and Peyton Manning would be a part of a buying group. Now, I don't know how much Elway or Manning would impact the Broncos. I mean, it's not like they would come in and be, I know I use this example a lot, but it's not like they'd come in and be a Jerry Jones type guy. They're not the sole owner. They'd be in this thing with a group. So how much would they really be doing on a day-to-day basis? We do know that Elway, at least, he's already bowed out of player personnel stuff. So there's no reason to believe that that would change. You know, 5 years ago, we would have been totally fine with Elway dealing with player personnel. But now I think people have turned a little bit on the Duke. Sure seems like it because of the last, well, I mean, let's call it what it is. George Payton was the GM this year, but he's only got a little bit of a stamp on this team. This is still John Elway's mess. But it's not going to be him on draft night in the draft room coming up in the war room coming up with who's going to be picked and such. Like, that's not going to be the case. I kind of yesterday I talked about this. I kind of lean toward John Elway for several reasons. I mean, he is the Broncos, man. I mean, as much as I love Peyton Manning, and I do. If Manning's group gets it, I'm not going to get on the show and go, oh, this is it. This was a terrible decision. But if I'm leaning one way or the other, I'm probably going to go with John Elway. Now, Michael, this is an interesting one for you because you wear more Broncos gear than anybody I've ever seen in the history of my life.
And that is true.
I've you know, you're the biggest fan I've ever seen, to the point where you're blinded by your fandom. You would admit that. I think you'd be the first one to admit that, because the Broncos are not going to go 17-0 every single season. In fact, they've never done it, but every year you've been alive, I believe you predicted that.
Well, this is the first year I've predicted that they would go 17-0 in the regular season.
Who are you picking?
It's more complicated than that.
No, who are you picking? Don't give me that garbage. Who are you picking?
I don't have...
There it is.
I don't really have...
Did you run for political office at one point in your life?
Well, here's my thought. It's not about Elway or about Manning. It's about whoever's taking charge and making decisions for the group. So if Manning's making decisions for the group, is Manning going to be the guy who's going to be like Pat Bowlen, be the type of guy who can talk to the players' union and be that bridge between the players' union? Is he going to be the type of guy who is approachable, who players can approach, who fans can admire so much?
Would John Elway be that guy? See, I think you're putting and this is what a lot of people are making the mistake of, is that being a part of an owner group does not mean that you're the GM.
But that doesn't mean
that your door is always open. You're coming in as a group owner, and yeah, Manning would be the figurehead, and they'd have an office for him, whatever his title would be. Elway would be the figurehead. They'd have an office for him, but they already have an office there. That's the other perk of Elway. You wouldn't have to change the office out.
But the owner doesn't just sit there. The owner has to make ownership decisions.
You're making the mistake again. You just made the mistake. The owner. He's not going to be the owner. John Elway will not be the owner. Peyton Manning will not be the owner. It is going to be a group of owners that are always making decisions together. And, is Manning... Like, what are you wanting out of this ownership situation? If Manning and Elway weren't involved at all and it was just some billionaire, we'd just be like, hey... Hopefully he keeps George Payton, and then George Payton can do his deal. It's not about the owners unless it's Jerry Jones. The owners just have to make the right decision as far as who to hire as the GM. That is number one. And then obviously the external stuff, the stadium, the upgrades, and deals that they're doing as far as sponsorships and stuff. Again, there's a lot that goes into it with an owner, but I feel like we've gotten to this point of expecting, okay, well, if it's Manning, great, what's he going to do? Is he going to be the GM? Is he going to be making a lot of personnel decisions?
I'm not talking about personnel decisions.
You're saying that talking to players, though. That's essentially
Pat Bowlen
was not part of an owner's group. I mean, he kind of was, but he was a large majority owner.
Yeah, so he was the majority owner. Who's going to act as the majority owner? Who's going to be the person at the meetings?
Whoever spends the most money. Who's spending the most money of this group? It's not John Elway or Peyton Manning.
If it's not John Elway or Peyton Manning, who is going to be the figure? To me, it's about the figurehead. Who is going to be the person making those decisions? Is that person going to make the decisions
What decisions are you expecting Peyton Manning to make?
You know, if he's not making a lot of decisions, I'm looking less towards Peyton Manning and John Elway. I'm looking more towards the overall decision maker. Is that person going to do what's right for the Broncos and say, all right, this is not what we have right now, what we need right? George Payton isn't the guy, or George Payton is the guy.
They will have to make the decision on the GM. They will have to make the decision on whether they upgrade the stadium, whether Ball Arena Empower Field. Like, those are going to be decisions that the ownership group makes with their people in charge. They're hiring, they've got their teams that they're hiring, their managers of the sales team, their managers of the stadium team. Like, all of those things will come into play. So that's why I say you cannot look at the celebrity. And I know there's a lot of 14-year-olds that are like, Manning's way better. It's the same group that voted for Golden State to beat the 96 Bulls yesterday. They don't know John Elway. They don't know his legend in Colorado. Elway has some, you can agree or disagree, but his dealerships were successful. He sold them for like $83 million. He has a lot of, four restaurants. And I know that those are small in the grand scheme of things when it comes to owning a team, But John Elway is a proven business owner. What does Peyton Manning own? Okay, he started the Monday night simulcast, whatever the thing there is that he and Eli are doing. That's their thing. They created that.
And he's bought into some franchises.
He's bought into franchises that are already, yeah. And I do understand that. And I'm not, listen, neither one of those guys or both of those guys seem to have some kind of resume that makes sense for this. I just feel like you guys are being a little unfair to Elway. Because, again, it's probably 50-50. It really doesn't matter. It's the Vic Fangio thing. Flip a coin. But I do feel like a lot of Broncos country, because of the last 6 years, and you're judging him off of his GM ability, you are completely overlooking what he has done as a businessman in the state of Colorado.
You said yesterday that a lot of young people are doing that. And I agree. I think a lot of young people are doing that, a lot of the younger generation. But when I first moved to Colorado, and I went to church with some people that owned their own businesses, a lot of them would pile on John Elway and say John Elway is not really that successful.
Who are these people that were piling on?
I don't want to say their names.
Just random people. That doesn't matter.
Well, they were business owners. I cannot say whether they are right or wrong because this was a very long time ago. But
Here's what you need to know. Did he have successful dealerships that he sold for $83 million?
Yes.
The answer is yes. So Bill told John and Jack told Stu. That doesn't matter. What I'm looking at is the bottom line. Rumors are rumors. Mm-hmm. Some people will say they hate John Elway because he's this. Some people will say they love John Elway because he's this. I Google and look up what his businesses are worth. That's what I know.
Yeah,
and what you should use when thinking or having a dialogue about the success or lack thereof of John Elway.
I agree that he has some success. I know that there are some people in older and younger generation that criticize him. I just think that people shouldn't focus so much on Elway and Manning, and they should really focus on the groups. It's a huge group. Both sides have more than just one guy involved. You should do more research on these
guys. No one's saying they're not going to. They're going to be researching these groups.
But we as individuals should.
Well, that's because you're going to look at John Elway and Peyton Manning. Those are the names. That's the way it is. And that's what it's coming down to as far as who are you voting for. I want to get more into this conversation, but we do have Kevin Lytle waiting for us. He just got done with a presser with Jay Norvell, Matt Mummy. They were at Colorado State talking. Alan Tuss talking football, I'm guessing. So we'll talk to Kevin, see what he learned from the presser. We'll get to that. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle joining us now, our CSU Rams insider from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Kevin, you had a press conference today. It almost made you late for this, and I would just hope that as a friend you would stand up in the middle of any press conference and just say, "Hey, I gotta go, guys. I gotta go. I gotta be on the whole show." I would just hope that you would do that for us. Can we count on you next time around for that?
I was preparing for a dramatic, like a mic drop exit. It's enough. Time for Brady.
I would gladly. Oh man, please, someone make that happen somehow. All right, so you get a chance to obviously you've talked to Coach Norvell a bit before, but you get the coordinators there too. Freddie Banks, the new defensive coordinator, Matt Mummy, the offensive coordinator. Can give us kind of the gist. What was this press conference about, and what did you take away from it?
Yeah, it was, really appreciate CSU setting this up, kind of a good opportunity, I don't want to say meet and greet, but that type of thing, get to know these guys a little bit. Obviously we've talked to Coach Norvell a few times, so good to catch up with him again. But yeah, Matt Mummy, we've talked before, he's one of the cool new social media guys on the CSU football staff. Obviously he's not hired just because he has a cool looking Twitter account. So we talked air raid offense. He is, literally the son of the air raid. His dad, Hal, basically created it. He said, Matt was a quarterback. He played quarterback in Kentucky. He says, I've been running the air raid offense since I was in fourth grade. So, pretty ingrained in his system. So really fun to hear him talk about the concepts and the systems and everything that we'll see on game day, come September. And yeah, it's, you know, a lot of things fans are excited about. They're going to throw the ball around. They're going to at least eventually, I think, play with some tempo. They have a great history of developing quarterbacks, and Matt Mumme is a huge, huge role in that. So even though Jay Norvell might call the plays, Matt Mumme is a vital part of that system and seems like a really engaging, you know, thoughtful guy. And then, yeah, Freddie Banks is the one that, you know, we knew Mumme would come with Norvell, but the defensive coordinator was kind of the huge other question. And Freddie Banks, the guy, he's a young coach. He's only had 1 year as defensive coordinator. He was Montana State's defensive coordinator this year and helped lead them to the FCS title game. But he worked with Norvell previously as a defensive backs coach. And he seems like really energetic, smart guy. Excited to see what he's going to do. Obviously, he has, in some ways, he has the toughest task in the rebuild of this roster because the defense, you know, wasn't very good, and it's going to be a pretty different system, you know, especially combining it with, you know, an offense that in theory should score a lot of points. So it's going to be a huge role. Obviously, you know, the kind of Bobo teams, you know, could score, but couldn't always defend as well as they needed to. And so Banks has a lot of, you know, important pressure on him, but seemed like, a really engaging guy that I'm excited to see what he does. And I think players probably will respond to him really well.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting question for me, Kevin, is yeah, you're right. Twitter, we've been seeing it. Matt Mumme, I mean, I'm all in, by the way. I love it. It's entertaining. It's great. But we've seen it. Hey, air raid, we're going to be throwing the ball around. That's what we do. We want big receivers. Coach Norvell literally wrote the book on wide receivers.
Yep.
So, you know, we know, okay, at least advertising-wise, we know this is going should be a high-flying offense. But the fear, I think, and at least in the back of my head, is, okay, is that what you just said, is it going to be kind of a Bobo-type offense where it's like all the attention goes to the offense, but where's the defense? So you're right, Freddie Banks has a lot and then on his plate. And then you look at signing day last time around, there was a lot of offensive players there.
Yep, it was, you know, basically all offense. Yeah, I think it was maybe 19 offense and 3 defense, I don't have it in front of me, but that sounds about right. And that was somewhat intentional. Well, not somewhat, it was completely intentional. At that time, they hadn't hired the defensive coordinator, and Jay Norvell didn't want to sign guys to a system that, you know, they didn't know exactly what it was going to be. Obviously, he has a, you know, general defensive philosophies he wanted to follow, but, you know, it made sense. You know, why would you be signing defensive players when they don't even know you know, exactly who their coordinator will be or what system they'll play. So kind of wanted to wait, and Freddie Banks now comes in. He's hired he had 2 of his staffers, so Freddie will kind of coach secondary as well. That's his background. He's bringing a coach in from Montana State that'll coach linebackers, and actually North Dakota State, who beat Banks and Montana State in the title game, he's bringing a defensive line coach from there. So they have their staff mostly assembled, and so they don't have as many slots left, but this second signing day will pretty much be all defensive players as they try and refill that. But it is going to take some time. You know, basically both sides of the ball needed to be rebuilt because of, you know, A, lack of success, and B, change of system. And you just can't do that in one offseason. I mean, it's just impossible. So, you know, one side, one way or another, would be probably a little shorthanded. And so the defense is probably going to be the one that takes a little bit more time to do. But like I say, that's, you know, that's kind of to be expected.
Yeah, and there's so much, as a new coach coming in, there's so many different things that you want to address. You know, you want your quarterback situation figured out. Okay, who's he going to throw to? Who's protecting him? And then you got to go to the defense. That's why I think college football coaches and just the recruiting process is so fascinating, because you're constantly, I mean, essentially you're constantly filling holes. You're constantly plugging holes as you're trying to grow your program. And with the transfer portal, you can see the benefits, as Jay Norvell has certainly seen, bringing Nevada players over left and right. But there's no doubt that coaches are constantly looking over their shoulders, too. So a lot of challenges out there. I'll be curious to see what they do this next round with the scholarships available, Kevin, because when we had Coach Norvell on, we did talk defense a little bit. And from his opening press conference, I'm a big cornerback guy. I love cornerback play. And when he was talking about, hey, we want guys that are going to be physical, that are going to be bumping these receivers, so there's not a lot of room. So I'll be curious to see if there's some defensive backs, some big-time defensive backs on this next go-around for signing.
Yep, I think DBs is definitely going to be a point of focus. I mean, I believe they already have a TCU transfer who said he's coming, and that's going to be a thing. Frey Banks even talked about that a bit, too. He says, at the high school level, we're not really recruiting guys who have played a ton of cornerback in high school, because for the most part, you look at most high school teams, you take your best athlete, and what do? You give them the ball. You make them the quarterback, the receiver, find ways to have them the ball. They may play both ways, but their main thing is offense because, you need your best athletes with the ball. So we're going to recruit guys that maybe, in high school are thought of as receivers, but they have that skill set that works as a defensive back, and we'll teach them that and develop them that way. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to follow of, maybe there's some guys on the roster that they would consider a position change. I don't know that. They didn't say that. But just kind of hearing what you said, it's kind of fascinating. They're saying, no, we're looking for kind of a body physicality skill set, not necessarily, this kid had 13 interceptions in high school, so he's a good cornerback.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fascinating to see. It's really fun, too, because I do feel like Coach Norvell, especially his coordinators, are really open. As you mentioned, Twitter, we kind of get to – I mean, you're doing it anyway, Kevin, because you're in the thick of it every single day. But for the fans, they kind of get to follow along with the coaches because they're constantly tweeting out who they're signing, who they're looking at, that kind of thing. So I think that's a way interesting aspect that we haven't really seen. Obviously, Adazio, none of his guys did any of that stuff. And then, when you go back to Bobo, I don't know that that was really the case. And Twitter wasn't really rocking and rolling as much as it was in the McElwain days. So this is pretty fun, I got to admit.
Yeah, and I think early signs are that the staff will be fairly open as far as, whether it's interviews or whatever, at least being able to hear their voice every now and then. Which I think is cool. I mean, every coach has a different philosophy. Steve Adazio wanted his voice to be kind of the only one speaking for the program. Bobo had kind of flipped back and forth. There are times that coordinators would be available, but a lot of times, especially late in his tenure, I think as he was kind of battening the hatchets down, as he felt the pressure, he wanted to be, that one voice. But yeah, I think it's cool for fans because you hear different philosophies and you can kind of hear straight from the horse's mouth what a coach is thinking rather than, the head coach spokesperson. So I hope that continues, and based on what we've seen, I think it will. But yeah, and I think, like I say, kind of early signs. Obviously, everything sounds good in off-season press conferences. Everyone's plan sounds amazing and looks amazing. So, proof will be in the pudding. But I'm excited to see these guys, and I think fans will really receive them well, when they're, booster events and things like that. I think people will really enjoy talking to these guys.
You and I have talked about it a lot. We'll probably talk about it more today on our Hoops tip-off program coming up at 5 o'clock. But, you're selling your program. You are a marketing person. You're not just a coach. You're not just football. That's why I always laugh when you get coaches that are like, oh, good, I want to go to that school because I can just focus on football. That's never really the case until you've established yourself as one of those programs and more recruits are just coming to you. You have to sell your program not only to recruits but constantly to the fans.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's part of the job, especially, at Alabama, Nick Saban probably doesn't have to sell Alabama football. But it's different here. You do have to. I mean, it's, you're not going to get 40,000 people in the stands just because it's Saturday afternoon. So, that's part of it. And why wouldn't you? I mean, we've seen Nico Medved do that to success with the basketball program. It's your job, just look at, from your side. How weird would it be if you had a radio show, but you never told anyone you had a radio show?
Right. I mean, exactly right. We're all kind of marketing, and it is kind of you can simplify it a little bit as far as how to get people excited about your program. Kevin, we talked a lot of football. I know we're going to hit more basketball this afternoon, but the Rams, hey, Utah State, that was a back and forth kind of battle there. Utah State, just when you think the Rams are going to pull away, Utah State kind of comes right back in. A lot of people watching it on CBS didn't get to see those final free throws either, so I know that's been a big deal on Twitter this afternoon.
Yeah, that's frustrating for fans. I kind of heard about that late in the game or after the game. But, yeah, it's CSU did what they had to, man. It was a grinder, tough type of victory. State, that's what they do. They just make you work for everything. And, I think they stayed in it due to free throws. You know, they kept going to the foul line. So every time it looked like TSU might be able to pull away, you know, Utah State would get a couple more free throws, and then they start hitting some big shots. Barstow had a great game. Bean didn't do a ton, but he did have one or two buckets late that really he one that gave Utah State the brief lead there in the final, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. So yeah, it was a real battle, but that's a good win for CSU. And you could also see the Rams looked a little bit more like themselves. It certainly wasn't a perfect performance. It certainly wasn't, you know, peak performance to where they were, you know, before the COVID shutdown, but looked a lot more like, you know, who that team really is. So that's a good sign. And now there's a chance for them to really start stacking some wins.
Kevin, what's the possibility? I mean, obviously win all your games, and you're more than likely going to be in that top 25. But do you see CSU cracking that top 25 again rather easily, or are things going to stars going to have to kind of align for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time. You know, they'll need, you know, the Utah State win was nice, but they're going to need probably another kind of marquee-ish victory to do that. I'm trying to think of the schedule. You know, San Jose State this weekend doesn't move the needle. New Mexico and Air Force next week. You know, obviously you have to win all these games. So we're, you know, let's just make that an assumption, because to talk top 25, you have to be winning those. Really, it may not be until they go to Wyoming that they can get a win that would really catch a lot of attention. But if they keep winning games, I think people, you know, I think most people already understand that, you know, yeah, they got beat by San Diego State, and San Diego State deserved to win. But, you know, one game after a COVID shutdown doesn't, you know, isn't a big negative. So I think they'll be able to at least have the opportunity to work back, but it'll probably take a couple weeks. And obviously some of that depends on other results that are completely out of their hands of top 25 teams losing.
Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, great work from you as always, my friend. We'll see you in the station later on today for our 5 o'clock Hoops tip-off show. So I'm looking forward to that, my friend.
Yeah, excited to be back at it and talking real live game action. You know, we've had like 2 straight weeks of it now.
Yeah, you can't beat it, man. Yeah, it's nice to get back into the flow. And we'll talk a little CSU Utah State, also preview San Jose State. Maybe the Rams can go on a little winning streak here and get back, maybe crack that top 25. Kevin, we'll catch up with you soon, okay?
Yep, thanks for having me. See you in a bit.
All right, 12:51 the time. We'll wrap up this hour on the other side. I do want to talk about we got NFL playoffs to get to. Mark Knutson, well, he had a great sit-down with the Mountain West, with Craig Thompson, Mountain West commissioner, about the playoff expansion and how, you know, is it going to happen, and why are we not making the expansion happen? We'll get into all that in the second hour. Don't miss it. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man Brady Hall and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, you guys have heard me talk about the GOAT. The GOAT Sports Bar is Greeley's newest local sports bar. A real sports bar, okay? And it's locally owned and operated, meaning they know the games that you're wanting. They know what Colorado's wanting. They get the feel. And you know what? Their staff, they're all up to speed on what the games are going to be. So you don't walk in on National Championship Monday and on the tube is, you know, Titanic playing again or something. You got sports and the sports that matters. Plus, the food's ridiculous. Try the Wisconsin cheese curds. They are legendary. They have 36 HD TVs. That's the GOAT Sports Bar. High energy local bar and restaurant. Proud to be serving the Greeley community. I'm a big fan of theirs. Love what they're doing. Alex, the owner, is he's done the right thing. You guys, do me a favor. Stop by the GOAT. Tell them I sent you here from the whole show. In the second hour, we're going to talk to Mark Knutson. He had a very good podcast, very good interview, talking about the Mountain West and the playoff expansion. He sat down with Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson about all of it, about their room, you know, sitting down going over this. What's the holdup here? Why is it seeming like it's going to be very unlikely that we expand these playoffs. What's the holdup? We'll talk to Mark about that coming up in the very next hour, in the very next segment, 105. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.